Overheard at Yoga is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios, speak and be heard. This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communications expert and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and wide format printing for signs as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com/Boise or call 208-IMPRINT. That's 208-467-7468. It's your girl, Christina. This is Overheard at Yoga. So let's crank up the heat and get down, dog. So hi, Temple.
Hey. Yes.
Thank you for coming on my podcast. I'm absolutely thrilled you're here.
Thank you. This is a pleasure to just drop in. It seems to go that way with your vibration. It's just, It's moment by moment and we seem to click.
Great. That's
awesome. So thank you for having me.
So today my guest is Temple Ann Gladstar. I'm so thrilled that she's here. And we just met very recently. We hosted your workshop at our studio, Let Go Into Nature, Qigong, yoga. There was song. That was a very mystical class for me. And when I met you, I was like, who is this amazing spirit? And I'm so excited to talk to you because I would love to learn more about your yoga journey.
Wow. Yeah, I have had a yoga journey and it does feel like it comes full circle being here and even having a chance to talk about it because there is something about the breath. That's the yoga journey. Oh, it just got even more sensitive, the listening. When we pause with the breath. So yeah, I thought you might ask about the journey and I think I've been reflecting some already on my yoga journey. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to know, is there just infinite time? How much would you like to hear?
That's a good
what
question.
Kind of timing are we working
with? We are on
with?
A time constraint, and you'll know when we're about to wrap up because I have a question that I will ask you near the end. So like you said, when you're with me, things just will happen. So we'll just feel it out. But I guess where I'd like to start is, when was your first yoga class?
Okay, thank you. First yoga class was probably in Oregon, in Salem, Oregon, and I had followed one of my professors there. She was a gorgeously salt and pepper, curly black hair, and I spotted her from behind. It is about vibration. Sometimes you can just see that there's something in a person that you're meant to follow, and I saw her from behind on campus, and I was struck like a big bolt of energy that I would be tuning in, paying attention, and actually become friends with her. And she turned out to be the professor and maybe one of the kind of heads of the ceramic departments at the school that I was at. So Heidi Pruce Grew introduced me to yoga. And she's a ceramicist and a brilliant teacher, artist, soul friend, and I knew she was doing yoga, and I had just come to a new place, and I think was open to reaching out and finding new ways of being, maybe new tools for my toolkit, and I took the leap into, I think it was an Iyengar class, because there were plenty of props, and I thought that was strange.
Okay.
I was like, like blocks and straps, and then like using them and holding your leg up in the air and like with everybody. And it was, I think that yoga may be one of the first, even just like, I don't know if I'd done a lot of group exercise classes.
Mm.
I think I was a little afraid to go to the class, but because Heidi went, Heidi knew what to do. Really, I could already see just like from a distance. I was like, oh yeah, she's got it. So she was going to Iyengar and I was like, I'll do it too.
Okay. So what was that first class like? Do you remember?
I just remember all the props and feeling really uncomfortable.
Were you uncomfortable just seeing the props or trying to manage how to use the props?
Yeah, managing how to use them, probably like what order to get them, what order to take them. Sometimes when there are a lot of steps, it just like clogs my system and I get overwhelmed.
When I took an Iyengar class, I was intrigued by the ritual aspect of coming in, being soft and still,
Nice.
And then there's the prop room, and so everyone lines up and they get all the props, and then you go to your mat and you try to settle in, and then you're just waiting. And so while you're waiting, you're like, well, maybe I'll do a stretch, or maybe I'll look over at this person, or I'll just finagle my blocks a little bit because I don't know what I'm doing in the opening. But then at the end, the ritual of returning the blocks, I don't know, there's something about it, props, all that stuff, I thought was really ritualistic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. It is. It's beautiful when you can create that kind of attention. And yeah, I think sometimes when it's new, my habit or like the pattern for me is to kind of get a little bit more rigid and start to be uncertain and feel like, am I doing it right? You know, like there's a lot of little things here, but when it becomes a ritual, then all of it, seems much more synchronistic, I'm sure. And kind of, gentle. And you can find that stillness while you're getting your props.
Yes.
I returned to some Iyengar studios later on in my yoga journey, but I feel like a first kind of, I probably was repulsed a bit at first because I think I went to a few classes, but I didn't begin a practice at that time. But it was definitely kind of the first break into it and just dip a toe and see what it's like and notice my breath, I'm sure. I bet that took me off. That's probably what was like the most like jarring, like what? We're just gonna like breathe?
I think I didn't even know that breathing was a thing in yoga for years. Like I knew they were cueing the breath, but I didn't get it for a really long time. And when I started to get it with vinyasa and catching that zone, that flow feeling, that flow state feeling, it blew my mind.
Yep, that must be it. I think vinyasa helped me find the breath too. Like I was overwhelmed when I first went into Iyengar and then took a little pause and then tried again. I think the next class I remember going to was in Utah. So a big jump as well from Oregon to Utah, you know, the ocean to the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
Really different landscape, really different mindset too, and a bit more rigid for myself as well because I was at a Mormon college institution, the Brigham Young in Provo, and that's where I went back to yoga. And it's amazing how the strangest synchronicities happen with the spirit. It truly is a trickster. There's all this wildness about spirit. If you really want to follow the path, you got to allow yourself to, it's like instinctual. And I had found myself back kind of by instinct in Utah, which is where I did go to Brigham Young and actually graduated from there twice. So it's like this double like stamp of a certain place and a certain a certain time. And but it introduced me to a lot of things that I still really pay attention to, like yoga and music. And you can find anything anywhere. So I did find a lot of richness there, and still return to Utah. And it's like, whoa, this land is so rich with wonder.
So you were doing Iyengar, like dipping your toes, planting the seed, noticing the breath, and then went on this journey. Now you're in Utah going to school.
Yeah.
And what type of yoga were you doing there?
I will share too that continuing with the ceramic path too. So I had felt kind of followed my ceramic teacher, and I was at a university for 3 years, Willamette, and had a great experience in a different place. And then it suddenly kind of came to a halt, and I moved back to Idaho. And then I ventured out again, and this time to Utah. And I continued to study ceramics.
Mm-hmm.
I was pointed to the class by my inner knowing. And that's a nice thing to like pay attention to. Because the seed had been planted.
Mm-hmm.
I knew about yoga. And I knew that I needed to find it in Utah.
Were you always that aware to follow this knowing, this recognizing that you're being pulled somewhere, when you were talking about seeing your ceramic teacher from the back and you already felt a rush of energy of something is here? Were you always aware of that, or did you recognize it in hindsight that you have these connections, these energetic pullings?
It helps to talk about it to start to see the patterns. And mm-hmm. I probably have been following that, as we all have this. They do feel like tethers, some kind of invisible soul string that connects us. And I'm sure you felt that kind of pull in different directions, and it could be with a person, it could be with a place. I know my soul gets like tethered to a place, and then I'm just pulled there.
Sometimes I'm just so unaware of it until later, and I look back and I'm like, what was that? How come I was pulled there? And then I didn't know it until after the fact.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
When did you start teaching yoga?
The teacher has always been a big part of how I am. I love to pretend to teach.
Okay.
So I feel like, when did I start to teach yoga? I don't know. I'm just thinking like, first about yoga and then mm-hmm. teaching it.
Did you take a yoga training?
I did take yoga training.
Where?
Absolutely. Here in Boise, Idaho.
Okay, great.
And yeah, the Shanti Yoga School was the way that I began my learning, like in a more formal way. I guess what I was kind of reflecting on is how much of a teacher nature is.
Mm.
So when I, first taught the class at Hollywood Market and was able to share something of like what wisdom I have,
mm-hmm.
It is about true nature and listening to nature and our true nature. So, when I think about just the way that I listen to the birds or even the sky, something that you think doesn't have a voice unless you are willing to listen with just a little bit bigger imagination. And so this also really does point to where I began teaching, and teaching children has kind of always been that safe place for me, of teaching to some. It may just be that they're smaller. It's like,
what?
You're not going to be able to make me feel as insecure as I sometimes do about myself. But I also absolutely adore their true nature and how they, like, I learn from them. So I'm willing to really learn a lot And I think that children are some of my biggest teachers. So when I have taught, it feels like it usually begins and ends with children. Mm-hmm. I do love to teach adults, but when I teach them, it's like we're going to be playful, and it might challenge.
I was so challenged, and I loved you. You talk about how you have these. Sometimes you feel insecure, which we all do, but for some reason, when we look at another person, like when I look at you, I'm like, that woman has no insecurities. She knows herself, and she's confident in herself. And you created a container for us in that classroom of yoga to create community, to share how we were feeling. And you guys, Temple looked at me and she was like, if anyone would like to share something, I'd love to create a space of community. And she looks right at me and I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, hi, I'm Christina. And I was honest. I was like, I am so curious on this experience that is about to unfold. And you just had us tune into our bodies. And I was amazingly surprised at the students in the room for opening up and sharing. There was a couple women who hadn't seen each other in a long time, COVID, and they brought me to tears when they were talking about they hadn't seen each other in so long. She came for a visit. Her friend brings her to this amazing yoga workshop, and they share how special it is to spend this time with each other and with community. And it was, we don't talk like that in yoga. We just are breathing and we're having our own mini experience. And I thought that was really amazing how you were able to do that so quickly.
Yeah, it is challenging, but it is what we ask of the children, is to be really multidimensional. And I feel like children also just point us back to that, like listening with our whole bodies. Mm-hmm. You can see when they're really excited and their body shows it. Mm-hmm. And so much of how we act is about almost dampening that like expression that of our true nature. So I like to bring in some things that are a little bit unexpected and gonna kind of almost like you're going to feel something that you can't really hide. So like you said, like your face just kind of burst, or maybe you laughed and you had to kind of like, huh. And then you noticed how even tears could be welcomed in a space where anything goes. It's like, well, if she can laugh, then I can laugh. And if she can cry, I can cry. Yeah, it becomes really tender. I think the listening, I love creating containers for tender listening. And I find, you know, again, even children, just excellent, tender listeners. And something that really needs tending to and listening to inside of us is that inner child. So we all, like, you know, even though teaching adults is different than teaching children, we also all have an inner child that we must in some ways surrender to. It's our true nature. We must surrender to our true nature.
Was there a time where you were disconnected from your child, which is why it became so important for you to bring this into your teaching to adults and children?
It must. Yeah. I think so. I think the root absolutely is a disconnect for myself that I really intentionally have been rebuilding. Yeah. And when we follow my that yoga path, I did begin with just, you know, what we all have, our experience, our unique experience, our body, our breath. Yeah, when I first, I'm just remembering when I first really started to make yoga a regular practice, and what it felt like to not only, you know, find the way back to that inner child or the true nature is like just accepting and being in our body and like reconnecting to my body. Like I needed that regular yoga practice to start even somewhere, like put in an anchor and know that it was okay to let myself relax into even just my own breath and my own body.
That's yoga. I'm really curious. You're so interesting. You go to Oregon, you go to Utah, you're from Idaho, yes. And then you take your yoga training in Idaho. But then I met you when you moved back to Idaho from New York. What were you doing in New York?
Yeah. And right when I touched down in New York, I did a children and family training. So I knew I was going to, I just needed to expand. I needed to go shift the whole picture and totally like just twirl myself around so that I had to just kind of had to rebuild everything. The journey east was for me like another big like wall shattering, just leaping into the unknown and seeing how it goes. And so it was such a big step. And I'm so glad that I made it, and also that I made it back. It does just feel like a beautiful arc and a beautiful tale, and I'm still living it, and I'm, you know, and I'm alive, and I'm really grateful.
What's bringing this emotion up for you?
I guess I was thinking about how it's just like how deep sometimes it's like you could turn it into anything. You dig deep, you bow deeply. And it's like to myself that left into the, made that leap into the unknown. And, you know, I know why she made it.
What helped you make it through? I'm assuming you went to New York by yourself.
It was mostly by myself. It was with a lot of help. And I will say from God, from like the great and the unknown and something that I just am following. It's like, well, all right, I'll surrender because I'm here. And this is a big and a really strange experience that I'm having. So I do feel like trust and building trust has been really important and important to build with myself, absolutely. And also that the big, like the kind of spirit that connects everything, and the sense that I can't contain it all. And I don't have to make sense of it all, like helps me.
That you don't have to make sense of it all.
Mm-hmm. That there is there's a embedded nonsense to it. And yeah.
So to life in general.
Yeah. So learning laugh is important. And I really appreciate that about you. I do have to say, I'm like, whoa, I've never been interviewed and this is kind of amazing.
Oh my gosh.
I guess I was just trying to say, like, you know, really bow to that self that made the leap. And I'm so glad that I did. But so much had changed. I had left Brigham Young University and really made a choice to also leave the religion, and just felt like I needed to change almost like every aspect. Just like,
I can relate to that. You're changing your worldview, your universe view.
Change it up.
Giving yourself space to rethink your hardline beliefs and allowing them to change and evolve with you, I think was really paramount in my growth and development. And then once I realized that my beliefs could change, I was horrified. But then it gave way for me to find beauty in the mystery that is life. And I watched this amazing movie recently. I think it's supposed to be a kid's movie or a family movie. It's called Soul, S-O-U-L. And it's an animated film. And I want to say it's voiced by Jamie Foxx. And trying not to give it away too much, it was such a beautiful movie. Both my boyfriend and I are at the edge of our seats crying. And it's about this musician who's trying to make it in the jazz world, and suddenly he passes away and his soul is starting to rise up and he's like, I'm not ready yet. And so he goes through this amazing journey through the ether and meeting all these different souls in different dimensions and trying to find his way to his body to complete what he thinks is his mission. And truly it ends up being about not your purpose, but just being alive. So I hope I didn't give it all away, but I recommend Soul. I want to watch it again. And when I first started watching it, I got scared when the death part came up because I'm all about denying death, which is so interesting because yoga is all about being okay with it. But I feel like that's kind of what we're talking about, the mystery of life. And we just start being propelled through our journey, being pulled by that tether. And somehow you made your way full circle back to Idaho. So grateful I got to meet you and take your yoga practice.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and beautiful to hear your retelling. And I will love to watch Soul.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
We are short on time, so I do have to ask you, what have you overheard at yoga?
I heard my own soul.
Wow.
Yeah, I gave a little thought to this question, and it's like what I hear, what I've overheard has been the that wild and silky soul, and those are my favorite glimpses when I catch a little, you know, tail or a little hint, a little smell of my wild self. And I was in a yin yoga class, and those are undeniably a great place to catch your wild self, because stillness is essential to remembering. And I was getting set to go on a journey that was going to be encountering a lot of unknowns, like and that's when your wild silky soul really shows up, and you know that it's like you're going together and you're committing to something, and you need your whole self. You especially need your wild self. And so I was in a yin class, but when you're there, you feel everything that is uncomfortable that you have been putting off and not addressing. So then you feel that it starts to come up. And you're just like, I just want to encounter my wild soul. And then you do. So with all the discomfort I was feeling, and it's like, oh, I don't want to slow down because the voice is not going to be kind to myself when I slow down. That's something that I've experienced with that kind of slowing down and listening and what is in the kind of the mind. The insecurity that might be there. And in this yin class, instead of that insecurity, what I really, that I still remember to this day was that a song came to me, or I sat with the insecurity and my wild silky soul started singing to my insecurity a song. And so it's so beautiful that I was able to capture the song, so I can sing you what I overheard, and that's that kind of wild silky soul song.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
Just a little piece. Now is the time to be gentle and kind. Now is the time. Now is the time to be gentle and kind. Now is the time.
I am so grateful for you sharing that. That was beautiful. We gotta leave it there. But okay. Is there anything you want to plug? I know you're going to be offering kids yoga for us at Hollywood Market Yoga. We hope to do more events, and I'm sure you've got other things coming up.
Yeah, I think just come out to Hollywood, and I think that, you know, children are going to love to spend time doing yoga together, and also adults. And so I'd love to see children and adults at Hollywood. And yeah, definitely come by, take a look at what is coming up. I think it would be fun to do some, like, even whole family events.
Oh, cool. And what's your Instagram handle? How can people follow you and see what you're up to?
Take a look at Triple Trance. That's where you're going to find information on yoga. Also, Qigong. That's something that I'm sharing online, and you could also find. Yeah, so follow Triple Trance. There's some music there too.
Great. I'll put those links in the show links. Everyone, I want to thank you so much for tuning into my little podcast. And quick announcement, I will be at Yoga 4 in Boise, Idaho on September 25th, Saturday. My class is at 11:50. We're doing a freedom flow with a live musician. I'm so excited. So hope to see you there. Thanks. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Leave me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and I want to hear from you. Please send me your overheard at yoga stories. Tell me about your yoga journey, what you love about your home studio, or the funny thing you overheard at yoga. Find me on Instagram at overheardat.yoga to submit. There are so many different styles of yoga and opinions about yoga, but the one thing I've seen in all my travels to different studios is yoga brings a community together. Namaste!